He is an outfitter, he is a guide, and he has emerged from 2 weeks in the wilderness. After bushwhacking his way from the depths of Quetico Provincial Park through the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness into Ely, Minnesota, his name is Jason Zaborski, and he joins us now on KFGO. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
Have you warmed up yet?
It's interesting you say that. I'm at the cabin, and I just put another log on the fire.
Oh,
very nice and warm in here.
That sounds magical. You have your mobile phone. I hope you have your computer. I just send you a friend request on Facebook.
Perfect.
Good. Well, you've been making a lot of news lately with this 15-day bushwhacking adventure through canoe country wilderness. And what kind of equipment did you have with you?
Well, I traded out my paddles for trekking poles, and I traded out my portage packs for a backpacking backpack, and had a little other special equipment. One thing that was pretty special was my eyeglasses. I traded out for some safety glasses because there's a whole lot of thicket out there that's trying to poke you in the eyes all the time.
Yeah, I see those. I'm looking at a photo right now. And by the way, if you want to be your friend on Facebook, you can also see where you blogged about it as well, which is pretty cool. Did you have a mobile phone with you?
Right. That's pretty unusual compared to a typical summer canoe trip. So this trip, I took my iPhone along, and it is kind of counter to kind of my way of going about a wilderness trip. I just don't want to have that connection. You know, I don't want to look at Facebook. I don't want to think about it. And I don't really want to have that phone along with me. But this trip, I actually took my cell phone, my iPhone, and used a GPS app. And so I was constantly watching along on my iPhone to see where I was at. And
so,
I had,
No, go ahead.
So I had a Motion X GPS in it, and I downloaded the maps for where I was going and also the satellite imagery so I could kind of watch along as I went and drew a line.
You didn't have a navigator woman that told you turn left at the next tree?
I had no backseat driver.
No, in fact, you didn't see anybody.
It was totally solo. So every wrong turn I took, I had only one person to blame.
So it was an 80-mile trip. And if you could, please, describe the terrain.
The terrain was really varied. And that's one of the things that struck me about the route is that, the train went from these slogs through really wet, moss-covered bogs and marshes up to the very top of these really rocky, almost mountainous bluffs and kind of everything in between. But it was really pretty constant variety. Even when you're on sort of those mountaintops, you come across highland wetlands.
One of the things that surprised you was just how wild it was out there. What kind of wildlife did you come across?
Well, a whole variety of wildlife. Probably the wildest encounter I had was when I was right in the very sort of bullseye center of Quetico, a particularly remote area. 2 days of slogging through bogs, and it rained on me for about 11 hours straight one day. But in the middle of that day, I'd stopped to listen to some wolves that were howling nearby, and there was a young wolf. It sounded like with a higher pitched tone. It was howling. Kind of a mournful howl near me, and then there was it sounded like maybe an older wolf in the distance that was howling back in a lower tone. And that's pretty neat, but like at my cabin here outside of Ely, I'll actually hear the wolves howl through the walls outside, And so I thought that was pretty neat to be on, you know, deep in the woods on kind of on their own terms of the wolves. But when I was standing there just quietly listening, I had a bull and a cow moose in full rut come just crashing up right behind me through the brush. And they made quite a rocket. And it was a first for me. I actually got a chance to hear the moose, probably the bull moose, vocalizing. So the moose are usually pretty quiet all year, except for when they're in the rut. And then they start making some moose calls. And so it was pretty special to actually have them that close to me and have them, you know, vocalizing, which they don't really do.
Were you afraid? I mean, these are pretty dangerous mammals, right?
Well, you know, I think a person is more likely to be eaten by a human than a wolf, statistically. So I wasn't too worried about the wolves. I just thought that was pretty special.
How about a moose in rut, though?
Yeah, but you didn't see.
But you know what? The moose in rut, when he came up, he was, and I saw, you know, the white of his antlers near me, my heart started racing. And I started, you know, my processing was, you know, this is the time of year that they tend to be aggressive when they're in the rut, and they can be territorial. And, you know, I was a pretty odd-looking creature that he certainly did not expect to come across. And so I was concerned, not afraid, but certainly concerned.
Sure. I noticed from one of your reports that you had 6 days filled with rain, sleet, and snow. How did you stay warm? And where did you sleep?
Well, you know, I guide year-round up here, and I do canoe trips in the summertime and dog sled trips in the winter. And I've done a lot of winter camping, you know, cold temperatures, 30 below, 35, 40 below. And I'm pretty good at staying warm and comfortable in those conditions, but the conditions that I had on this trip were actually more challenging than 30 below, because it was, you know, this week long of really wet, and, you know, right around 30, 31, 32, maybe up to 33 degrees. And so it was just this really damp, cold, and snow that particularly the snow just was like a blizzard falling off all the tree branches as I walked through and just coating me head to toe and coating my boots. So
what kind of food did you bring with you?
Well, I brought a mid-height hiking boot and then several pairs of wool socks and then a vapor barrier liner that I could use to keep the water out from my foot, which my feet were wet for 14 days, and wet feet aren't necessarily the most comfortable, but I was happy they stood up for the trip.
Wonderful. So you found a way to keep your toes warm. And food and water.
Well, warm might be an overstatement, but they were fine. They were kind of cool. They were cold for 2 days.
And you were gone for 15 days, right?
I was gone for 15 days.
Wow. And so you had enough food in that backpack and water? Where'd you get your water?
So, yeah, you know, it's pretty amazing up here in canoe country. In the summertime, you hardly even need to bring a water bottle because you just dip your head over the side of the canoe. But that wasn't the case on this trip because it was so slow moving through the thickets of trees, then it might take me, you know, 2 hours to go less than a mile. And so although I was never that far typically from lakes, it could take me several hours to get to the lake. So I just had to fill up water bottles along the way and carry extra water in my pack. So that was extra.
I know that you didn't see, you never saw a human being in those 15 days, correct?
Yeah, nor a canoe or a pack or a tent in the distance.
Did you get lonely?
You know, I really didn't. I don't tend to get lonely in the woods. I just don't.
Hmm. Well, why did you do it?
You know, I've been really fortunate and blessed to have the opportunity to explore a whole lot of this region by canoe. And as I was sitting in front of the map wall at the shop this late spring, early summer, I was looking up and thinking, hey, where am I going to go this fall for my fall personal trip? And as I looked up at the map wall, I was seeing a lot of places that I'd been, but I wasn't finding much in the way of canoe trips that really inspired me up there. And then it kind of clicked. And I thought, you know, what I haven't explored, what I don't really know so well, is everything that's behind the trees and all that land that's up here. I don't really know what's out there because nobody goes there. And that's when it kind of clicked, and I thought, well, hey, how about I check out behind the trees?
You know, wow. I've never done anything quite like that. I have been hunting, and I have been in some pretty exotic places, and I always hearken back to early explorers, what it must have been like for them to wade into a wilderness, which really was far more foreboding than what you experienced. Or how about those old sailors that used to get off of ships and go explore little islands in the middle of the Caribbean, and they didn't know what was there and such. And I bet one of the reasons you didn't get lonely or don't get lonely in the mountains, because you really have a lot to think about your place in the whole scheme of that thing.
Sure, I had a lot of time to think, absolutely. But it's interesting, bushwhacking is not boring either.
Oh, yeah. It's work.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, just a walk, you know, or a jog, you know, going down the street or something. I mean, you really have to pay attention to your footing, and you really need to pay attention to what's going on around you, and it's constantly changing, and it's constantly changing really close to you.
What did you miss the most?
Your cable.
Yeah.
I don't have television.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
At my place. So
nothing.
That was a tough one.
Yeah, a tough one. You know, one thing that was really comforting out there, though, because originally when I started putting this trip together, I had some friends who were on board and going to go with me. So it wasn't going to be a solo trek. I wasn't necessarily looking for any sort of a solo trek experience. And really the most dangerous way to go about a trip like this is solo. So that definitely wasn't my starting point. But my friends, for good reasons, kind of fell by the wayside and weren't able to make it in the end. And so,
wow.
So I was out there, but I was actually finding it quite comforting that people were interested in the trip and following it on our Facebook page. And actually our Facebook page is a place that people can still go to and kind of read all the journal updates.
There are great
daily journal updates, and it's at facebook.com/Ely Outfitting Company.
Wonderful. And that is your company, Ely Outfitting Company. And do you have a website too, Jason?
Right. It's just Ely Outfitting Company, all spelled out, .com.
Gosh, I'd love to do what you did sometime. Okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
Don't
take her. If she talks you into it, don't take her.
Jason Zaborski, Ely, Minnesota, thank you very, very much for sharing your experience bushwhacking through the boundary waters and parts of Canada with us on KFGO. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks for having me.